Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Lucky here. It's the Pat and JT podcast.
Pat and JT podcast.
It's Pat and JT. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under It's Pat and JT. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe.
So this is actually, can you turn up just a little bit more? I know I've been really picky this morning.
Man,
my headphones are too quiet.
I
know, a little bit more, actually.
Gee,
a little bit. I know, just a little
Lord.
Bit more. They're still really
more?
Quiet. Yeah, they're really, no, there we go.
It's a touchy knob over here.
Whatever. 6 years, starting year six of the Pat and JT podcast today.
That's right. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Today is the day. 6 years. And so we brought in a special guest for the 6 year. No, not because of that, but...
It just so happened.
We have Chef Tay with us today. And we have history. And we got to get caught up because we haven't talked to you in about 5 years.
Has it really been that long?
I think it has been.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you've never been on our podcast, have you?
I have not. Nope.
So that's 5 years.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Just saying that starting year six just sounds crazy.
Well, congratulations to you guys on that.
Thanks.
That's really cool.
Thanks, man.
It's nuts, man. It really is. But it's been a lot of fun. Getting here where we are now, this has been awesome. So that's all great. But we're here to talk about you is what we're here to talk about. Because a while back, I stumbled across your page, Not Just Omaha Eats.
Yep.
And that's on Facebook. If you catch it, it's awesome. And I caught it last fall, and I'm like, what the hell? I haven't talked to this guy in forever. Mm-hmm. And we connected on Facebook, and then you kind of stopped doing videos for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got it fired back up again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know where to start. Should we talk about our history first and just
sure.
kind of like—
Yeah, let's do.
Let's just start there. When we first met you, you were on Power.
Yep.
On the radio.
Doing the night show. Yeah.
Were you Chef Tay then? You were Chef Tay then.
No,
you've been
then,
Chef Tay to me like forever.
He's just, I like to cook Tay.
He I like to cook Tay. That's what, I'm yeah. not getting paid for it,
like,
Tay.
I like to cook. I should look into this more, Tay.
No. I was Mr. West.
That's right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mr. West. Honestly, the name came from, so I was Chef West. Chef West in the Morning Scramble when I transferred
that's
over
right.
to the
Morning.
That's what it was.
That's
yep.
right.
Yep. So Chef West came from just doing barbecues and everything else, like, I'm just having friends over after we'd be done DJing and parties and everything.
Yeah.
And I obviously was Mr. West as a DJ. And then my roommate at the time, Devin Dupree, was like, you're Chef West when you're cooking, bro. So that's where the name came from.
When were you always like the go-to guy to cook? You always like to cook?
Oh, I
and grill
loved
and...
it. Yes, yes. Okay. That's honestly where my passion for cooking came from was being in Boy Scouts. And we would go to our campouts, and, you know, we had to cook all of our own food and everything and cook it outside.
Everybody's like, I want a room with Tay.
Yeah, well,
I'm the best cook out there.
Here's my marshmallows. Here's my chocolate.
Exactly. I got tired of eating the bland food that, like, our scout leaders would make. And I'm like, this is disgusting, yo. You're boiling the eggs in a plastic bag? Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Give me a break.
Yeah. No, so I was like, I will cook.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah, so, yep, all of our camperies and campouts, I was the one that was in charge of cooking.
That's
so.
Awesome.
That
so, is awesome. So I got to go back. Chef West was kind of foreshadowing. Because mm-hmm. at that time, did you think you would ever professionally be a chef?
Not really.
It
was fun. I knew I wanted to own a restaurant or run some kind of food business. But in terms of like being a chef and embodying that, like I tell people, like, there's a difference between being a cook and being a chef. If you're a cook, you're underneath. Like, you're not in control of a kitchen. And, you know, when things are happening, the chef is the one that is taking the brunt of it. You're just be like, what do you want me to do, chef?
How can I help you?
I'm here. What do you want me to do? And so, for the longest, I didn't even call myself a chef because I didn't know what went behind that. It's cool to say, oh, you're a chef, but then you're like, then you meet a chef and you're like, I'm not a chef, dog.
I'm not a chef.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's like saying you're the CEO when you're like, the CEO
you're
has
the
so
boss.
Many other responsibilities. Like, I'm a CEO. Well, you don't even know what that means to be a CEO until you're a CEO.
Yeah.
Just like a chef.
So, okay. So where did it turn the corner for you? When did things start? Like, I could do this.
I was after MasterChef. You didn't know I was on MasterChef?
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so that was the first time.
Oh, act like you knew that.
I did. I remember watching it.
You didn't know that.
I did. Yeah. I swear to God. I swear to God.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen?
So for years, my mother had all been telling me, you should apply for one of those cooking TV shows. And the woman that I'm dating currently, mm-hmm. She had sent me a flyer for a MasterChef open audition. And I was like, man, they're in the big cities. They're over the weekends. And I DJ weddings on weekends. There's no way I'm going to be able to make one of these open castings.
That's a commitment.
Yeah. And so I sent in just like a virtual package, like a press kit, basically. And they reached out to me, and they're like, hey, we're interested in, you know, casting you for the show. And so I just went through the entire casting process, basically via webcam. And then a couple months later, they were like, hey, we're flying you out.
How'd they taste your food? Like, did they,
how did they know you were good?
They did it? Yeah, like legit. How'd they know you were good?
That was the thing. So I had to do a ton of videos of me cooking like different things and showing different techniques, so they knew we're not just flying some phony out that, you know,
yeah,
could be taking videos off the internet or just whatever.
Right.
And so, I did videos cooking outside. They had me show different types of sauces, like all the mother sauces, made sure I knew how to do different knife cuts and things like that. And so,
oh my God.
When Jeez. I got out there, though, it was funny because everybody else had went to an open casting and they were like, so what'd you make? And it got to me and I was like, I didn't make anything. They're like, well, so what are you doing here? Can you even cook?
We don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
So what happened on the show?
So, well, how far in depth do you want me to go in? Because I could tell you everything. I can give you. I'm not on contract with them anymore either, so I can say whatever I want to say.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
Was it, okay, reality show, just a reality show, obviously, to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Was it what you expected, or did you have some surprises?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so, like, I hate to say it was traumatizing, but they did so many things to, like, build, what's the word I'm looking for?
Drama.
Yeah, build, not even drama, but just, like build, I call it building nerves. Like so
when
anxiety.
Anxiety, yes. So before you go on to most TV shows, you have to take like a 600 question personality test.
Oh my God.
And then when you leave the show, most of the time they go and you have to have a psych evaluation to make sure you're still sane.
Man, that's a great.
Oh my God.
Knowing that this could mess me up, I have to have a psych eval.
Yeah. I had a psych evaluation. So they fly you out there. And you know, most TV shows like show you when you land on the airplane and they're like recording you and everything. So I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's no way they're doing that. Like, this would have to be somewhat staged. So I played it real chill, but like you could definitely tell like when you landed in LA, the people that were there for the show, because they were like in character.
Wow.
And so
wow.
You know, you get there and then there's just somebody holding a sign that says casting MC11. And you go over there and you check in and they take your phones. So you have no contact.
Did you know that they were going to take your phone?
No, had no idea.
Oh.
No idea. So they take your phones and then they put you up in a hotel and there are these guys, they're called Wranglers, and they're basically in charge of you because you are now under contract. You are property of MasterChef or whatever show that you're on. And so they're responsible for you. If something were to happen to you, it would be on them. So
okay.
They put you up in a hotel room. They don't give you a room key. If you want to leave the room, you need to call the Wranglers to come and let you out. And then if you're ready to go back up to the room, they got to swipe and let you back in.
They didn't restrict you, though.
I mean, to an extent, like, you couldn't leave the hotel or anything
like that.
Okay,
you can leave the
property. I mean, if you wanted to go outside and smoke, that was cool. But, like, no, you were confined to a hotel. So they put you up in this hotel for a week and don't tell you anything. And
and you have no contact with the outside world.
None at all. And so you get really, really, really close and develop, I call them toxic relationships,
Stockholm
with everybody
syndrome.
There.
Yeah,
yeah, because you're like,
you're kidnapped.
Yeah, you're the only people I know right now. And this is
I don't
see
even
you
know
every
you
every day. Yes, I'm sharing three meals a day with you. Like, I'm at the bar drinking with you. Like, and so you just get really tight with these people in like a week. And so I started noticing employees that were so-called working at the hotel that weren't really working at the hotel. And I'm like, man, like, there's no way this person is standing in the same spot every single day doing the same thing. He's not, like, folding towels. He's just, like, clicking a pen and writing a note.
Oh, my God.
And so they were casting us for this entire week. Didn't tell us. And then so we all get – and so how they would conversate was is at the end of the day, we had to be back in our rooms by a certain time. And then they would slide a note under our door, and it would say, you know, be in Auditorium B at 9 a.m. And so we got one early in the morning. I was like, that's weird. And it said Auditorium B, 10 p.m. this evening. So we're like, what? Finally, we're going to do something.
Yeah.
And so we get down to this auditorium. They sit us all down, and they're like, half of you guys are going home tomorrow. I've never seen something so chaotic. People are crying. Like, you're my best friend. I may never see you again.
Oh, my God.
And they say you're going to get a phone call in your room between 6 a.m. and 9 o'clock, and it's gonna say go to floor number one or floor number two. One of the floors
and
is obviously
floors
you're going home.
Going home.
Yeah. And so phones start ringing at 6 o'clock, and you're on a hotel floor. It's quiet, so you can hear people's phones ringing. So you're looking through your peephole, like, who's going? Who's going? Who is it?
What floor?
People are up drinking already because they're like freaked out and everything. And I'm like, look, if we don't get me and my roommate, I was like, if we don't get a phone call after until like 8:30, I was like, then we made it. I was like, they would get rid of everybody else first, and then the people they were gonna keep, they would bring down last. And that was my theory. I'm like doing everything to like try to stay positive in
right.
this. So we get the phone call and it's 8:45. So we've been just up all morning freaking out, watching people walk down this hallway.
Yeah.
And so
hammered.
Yeah. I didn't drink. I was like, there's no way I'm drinking. I'm like, this is too much for me to be in here drinking. I don't even know you like that, bro. You've been saying weird stuff to me all week long. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And so
keep
like,
your wits about you.
Right. Yeah. Go to floor number two. So we go down there, we get out the elevator, and people start cheering. I was like, oh, damn, we made it.
Wow.
And so we go in there, and then the people that I was telling you I was seeing around the hotel were there in the room, and they ended up being the producers.
So, okay, no way. Let me go back and stop you real quick here before you go on. Because you said something that they were casting the show.
Yeah.
And remember John Carroll? He used to be on our show mm-hmm. years ago, and he was on Survivor.
Yeah.
And he was cast as the bad guy. But I don't know if they did something like, because he never really told us the whole in-depth on the mm-hmm. backside of everything, because he was under contract for so many years and that,
yeah,
and a lot of legal wrangling. So they were kind of deciding, that's what those people were doing, is they were watching
they
you.
They were watching us, yes.
All
who's
these people
the
that
bar?
Were folding towels and yeah. filling ice buckets yeah. and all that good stuff. They were yep. just observing you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it was
creepy.
It was to the point, though, I was yeah. telling people, I was like, because, you know, we would every once in a while, they would take us down to a restaurant. And I was like, hey, while you're here, pay attention to somebody that you think is kind of like you. I was like, because you have a doppelganger. And it was crazy because I'm like, everybody, mine was probably the most off one because it was just Asian guy from Texas. And I was like, normally your roommate was your doppelganger, but I'm like, yeah. you know, the outgoing person would always be with the other outgoing person. The quiet mom of two kids that doesn't work was with that other mom. I'm like, and that's technically your competition. I know that's your friend, but that's your competition. So
right, because they didn't want two of the same kind of
character.
Backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I have no idea how I got casted with the Asian guy, the Asian cowboy from Texas.
Did he have to go home?
Yeah, he went home.
Oh.
Yeah, he ended up going home.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he got to audition and compete for an apron, but he didn't get chosen for an
okay.
apron.
Okay, yeah. okay. Oh, my God. Yeah. So how many of you were remained?
60 of us.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 60 of
wow,
us.
Wow, I didn't realize there was that many people.
Right?
Like, yeah, how many people made it? That's how many people made it to air?
So to air, 30 of us made it to air. And
that's
then
crazy.
15 of us got an apron. When normally they do like 20 to 25 people to get an apron. So yeah, we get to the first day on stage and you know, they call what a test kitchen is, and you basically practice whatever your signature dish is that you're gonna present to the judges. Cause like I said, you know, you haven't cooked for a week. Half of these 80% of these people were drunk. And so, like, they bring us a stage, and this is the first day we've gone to stage, the first day we're going to be cooking, and they let us all know that, like, after we just went through all this.
So this is the same day they did
the
phone call?
The same day.
Wow.
The same day, yes. Wow. So they bring you to stage, and
What did you cook? What was your signature dish?
My signature dish was a deconstructed, reconstructed apple pie. So I took, and I made an apple pie filling, put it in the bottom of a ramekin, and then I made a country style biscuit and made it more of like a dessert style biscuit, so it was a little bit sweeter. Put the biscuit on top, baked it, and then I put a crumble over the top of that with a little bit of salted caramel. And then I did
personal,
a thing of vanilla.
Personal
jeez.
Pies.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Little personal pies.
It was honestly, it was wild because that came to me like one nice at home.
Yeah.
And I woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, that's what it's going to be. And I went and started making it. My girl was like, what are you doing?
Right?
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Like this mad scientist yes. in the kitchen.
I was like, I got an idea. I think it's going to be fire.
Some guys are watching illicit websites on their uh-huh. laptops. Other guys are playing video games. He's out there with his ramekin yep. making personal yep. pie. Yep.
yeah. That was honestly because that was when the house was quietest and like my brain was quietest. I did all the, like my thinking that I was going to do for the show. In that time.
Yeah.
They brought us to stage awesome. That day, and everybody, people were lighting stuff on fire. They were cutting themselves.
And drunk.
Because they were intoxicated.
So like from that, so did the whole show, beginning to end, film in 1 week?
No. So we filmed probably 2 episodes a week. So you would have, it was so wild, because what they would do was they would, after you got cast and got your apron and everything, you would have 1 day of practice. So, like, basically test kitchen. What they would do, they'd bring you to stage 6 o'clock in the morning, give you some food, and then they would say, all right, we're going in the test kitchen. And you go in there, and then there would be, like, some kind of something laid out, like a piece of bread or a piece of fish or something like that, and they would say, make something with this.
Oh, wow.
And so that was kind of like your hint, hey, maybe tomorrow you could be possibly cooking with fish. We don't know what kind of fish it's going to be, what the challenge is going to be with the fish, but yeah. just so you can have some kind of base to go off of, because you get into that kitchen and there's no, oh man, I want to change this. It's like, all right, you got to have a game plan because you have 45 minutes, go.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Man.
You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
My first episode, they gave us monkfish, but the day before they gave us cod. Cod and monkfish are 2 completely different fishes. Like, taste nothing alike, cook nothing alike, but I had never cooked monkfish before.
I never heard of monkfish.
They call it the poor man's lobster, but it doesn't cook anything like lobster either. And so I'm going off of like what they're telling us about this fish. I'm like, okay, lobster. I'm like, you can fry lobster. You can butter poach lobster.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to make my original dish before with the cod. I was like, I made a jerk cod with Jamaican rice and peas and a mango habanero salsa. And I was like, it was simple, but I was like, it's got enough technique in it to where like somebody that's gonna make a taco, I'm just gonna be better than their taco. Cause I'm like, yeah. a lot of people are gonna see fish, like fry it, make a taco. Like that's the simple thing to do.
Yeah.
And so when I saw this fish, I'm like, damn, like this fish was super like watery when I cooked it. I tested out a piece. I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to make this. I was gonna make a banh mi sandwich. And so I continued with like my original idea of making the banh mi, and Gordon comes up to me and goes, tell me about what you're making today. I was like, chef, I'm making a blackened banh mi sandwich with a sriracha or some kind of aioli that I was going to make with it with pickled veg and everything else. And he was like, Tay, did you taste the fish? I was like, yes. And he was like, do you see how the fish is resting over there and the amount of water that's coming out of it? And he was like, yes, chef, I see it. He was like, well, I don't want to eat a soggy diaper.
And good so point.
I'm like
okay.
And by this point, I'm halfway through this cook. So, I mean, I've got 25 minutes on the clock.
Just pivot?
So pivot, yes. He is like, reevaluate, start over. I'm like,
okay.
So back to plan A.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it was so nerve-wracking. And you know how Gordon does. And, you know, mm-hmm. like, so he was like, there was a Midwest chef that made some changes halfway through their cook. And the changes just weren't enough for them to make it. And I'm sitting there like, damn, well, I'm from the Midwest.
I guess I'm going home.
Yeah, and it's the first cook. I'm like, I can't go home on the first cook,
dang
yo.
It. I've been through all this.
And so it didn't end up being me.
Wow.
Yeah, mine passed. And they were like, it was really, really good. And so I'm like, I don't know how it was good.
Oh,
I'm telling you, I nay-nayed this thing, yo. Like, I flew through this. Like, But it kept me on, and I competed all the way through top 10, and then, well, I made top 10, and I got eliminated on a technicality. So I made, it was, the challenge was, they gave you five California-inspired ingredients. You had, and I know I'm going to miss one, you had wasabi, fresh wasabi, grapefruit, spot prawns, uni, and I can't remember what the fifth one was. But so I made a, you know, uni is?
No, I was just going to ask. I wanted to go back to the sandwich that you made before. Bami?
A bami.
What the hell's that?
So bami is is an Asian inspired sandwich.
Okay.
So like a lot of bami sandwiches are, I guess what you would, the closest reference would be like a French loaf, like a crispy loaf.
Yeah.
And then you fill it with like most recipes do like a Korean barbecue, so like a pork belly or something like that, and then pickled veg.
Ooh, like, that's awesome.
There's a couple bami spots in Omaha you have to check out. I know there's one over in Bellevue that does a really good job.
Okay, so that's a bami, and then the one that you just mentioned, the item you just mentioned was what?
The ingredient?
Uni. So uni is sea urchin.
Mm. Oh, because you have prawns.
Yep.
Sea urchin.
Mm-hmm. The hell's a prawn?
Okay, now I got it.
It's like a expensive shrimp.
Okay. Yep. I was thinking it was a veggie.
Yep, spot prawn. Yeah. Nope. And so they gave me these five ingredients, and I'm like, all right, I got an idea of what I'm going to do with this. And so, and then they also, for that challenge, you didn't have an open kitchen or an open pantry, so you didn't have access to everything. So they made a smaller pantry, so, you know, less things for you to work with.
Yeah.
And so I made this dish, and it was definitely a dish that, like, it came together at the end. So you had to make all the other items and, like, different parts of this dish separately. So I made a compound uni butter, and
I don't even – I mean, that's it's the way your mind works is just blowing mind.
Yeah.
So like a what?
Yeah. So, well, a compound uni butter – I mean, a compound butter is basically just butter that you whip and put anything in it.
Okay.
So it could be honey, and that you can call it a compound butter. And that's the other thing about cooking, like – if you talk to somebody that is a chef or does know these words, it's just basically to make your food sound expensive. You know,
they do that on all the menus all the time. It's super fancy words.
It's a compound butter. You just put some butter in something. This could be butter and honey, and there you have
it's
a compound
just whipped
butter.
Butter.
Yeah, a butter in something is a compound butter.
That sounds very fancy.
Okay. I made this compound uni butter, and I put it in the refrigerator, and because that's what I was instructed to do. I was like, they said, if you're going to make a compound butter, it needs to go in the fridge to, you know, just come together for the flavors to mend. I'm like, all right, cool. And so I put it in the refrigerator, get done with the cook, and I present my dish, and I made a tostada with, a wasabi guacamole and with like cilantro and everything. I took the spot prawns, and I cooked them down in the sauce that I made, and then I was going to take the uni mm-hmm. butter and melt it down and then just drizzle it over the top. And so I got done with the dish.
Sounds amazing.
Four, three, two, one, hands up. I'm like, yes, this looks good. And I look over and I see the uni because this comes in like a little like deli like paper. And I'm like, damn, I forgot it. It was in the refrigerator.
So
yeah. And so honestly, that moment, I remember sitting there like, oh. I could say I did use this in the dish. And I was like, but there's a camera on you at all times.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man, I got to tell him. I got to tell him. And so I'm glad I did it. And it'll make sense down the road. But I tell him, you know, chef, I did complete the dish, but I did leave off one of the items. And so I ended up in the bottom three. And, you know, they went through everybody else's dish. One of the dishes they picked up, and they're like, this looks like a bus tub at the end of the night, and threw it in the trash.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How humiliating for that person.
Right? Yeah. And that person actually ended up, he was in the bottom three for like three different other times before this. This was my first time in the bottom three. And then the other gentleman, his dish was complete, but it was just like he got some spaghetti, made some pasta, and then just kind of stacked everything on top of it. And that was him putting the dish together. So like, it doesn't look like anything. It looks like it just kind of took all the items we gave you and put it on a plate. And then here was my dish they tasted it and they ate it all. They was like, Tay, that was fantastic. They was like, we need you to do us a favor. Go back to the refrigerator and get your uni butter. And I was like, damn, they kept it. And I was like, and so in between them, our cooks, they basically go through, so they take us out of the kitchen, we go sit down, the judges go through and look at all the dishes. And then they also go to the refrigerators and everything and clean out the pantry to get ready for the next cook. And I was like, they would have went to the refrigerator, saw that, and threw it away. And I was like, but they kept it. And I'm like, so if I would have lied and said, oh, I used it, they would have like, well, Tay, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
Here's your compound lube butter. You said you used
it. Yeah, that would have been good.
Well, I've been a liar on national TV. I'm like, exactly. Nah, I'm glad I didn't say anything.
Thank goodness, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I really, still got goosebumps thinking about it.
I can see him. That's it. That's funny. I'm just thinking this, like, you were in the bottom three, but because the other two followed the entire directions, they placed ahead of you, even though both their plates sucked.
Sucked, yeah. And it was wild.
But you left one thing out, and so that disqualified him.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that's rough.
It was tough, man. And then what was...
Because you feel confident you could have gone a lot farther than that?
I was sitting there hoping. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, the three cooks that made it to the top three, they were definitely cold. But I think I could have beat them out, man.
Wow.
For sure. But...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it was so nerve-wracking, though, standing up there and... then on the behind the scenes, the producers came up to me like, "Hey, I wish you wouldn't have just said anything." But like, we were sitting. The reason it took us so long to decide who was gonna go home was we were hoping one of them was gonna say it should be me, because the day before he did, he was like, "Hey, chef, like I should be the one going home."
Yeah,
and
right?
they were like, "We were hoping." That's why we sat you guys up there for so long and waited for somebody to say something. But
they wanted to keep you,
and that's when you realize I want to do this for a living.
That's what I was gonna say. Did you go to school? Or you're just self-taught?
Yep. So one of the episodes on MasterChef, our guests, every episode we had a celebrity chef there. So outside of the three judges, Chef Gordon, Chef Aron, and then Joe, they would bring another celebrity chef in that specialized in something. And whatever they specialized in was what we were going to be cooking that day. And so Sherry Yard was one of our celebrity chefs, and we did a dessert round, and I actually ended up winning that one. And so there's a chef here in Omaha. He's actually the head chef at the Salted Edge now, Chef Joel Hassanelli. He reached out to me via Facebook and was like, "Hey, you know, I'm a chef in Omaha. I used to work. I was Sherry Yard's head chef at City Perch in New York.
Wow.
Would you be interested in collaborating and doing some, you know, stuff around Omaha?" And so he brought me on, and we were doing private dinners and stuff like that. At the time, he was... the head chef and curator over at Best Bison, and so he brought me on over there, and I just started out. Honestly, I was a delivery driver, if I'm being honest, because he didn't know if I could cook yet, because it's still TV. And so one day they were struggling doing prep work, and I was like, "Chef, I can do this." I was like, "Just put me back there, I'll handle it." And so I was back there, and that's where it all started at. Like, it was kind of coincidental, and then from there, we were doing private dinners and doing those things, and then when the Salted Edge opened, he was like, "I'm bringing you out there." And so
that's awesome.
That's super cool. I mean, being in the right place, but also opening yourself up to opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, taking some chances and doing the TV show. How long were you out there for the TV show?
So originally, I want to say we were out there for about 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. And then this was right at the end of 2019 and going into COVID 2020.
Wow.
And so, you know, keep in mind, like I said, we didn't have any cell phones or anything, so we didn't know what was going on.
That's what I was going to ask you. So I'm like, if you're out there for 4 weeks, did they say, "Okay, we're going to let y'all make a phone home from your room," I guess?
No. They had a burner phone that we had to go down and sit in a room with them and talk to our significant others or whoever.
So they did. So when you first landed, it was like communication crickets.
Yeah.
And you're
no Apple Watch. You couldn't log into your Yahoo or anything like that.
So everybody at home is like, "Where'd Tay go?"
Yeah.
He just fell off the edge of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, and I wonder what were they worried about you guys finding out? You know, like you would think, I understand not being able to communicate with people, but being able to get information and find out what's going on in the world, I would think would be okay.
Well, I guess their big thing was, like I said, you know, to build like the trauma response, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, you guys relied on your producers and your showrunners. You relied on each other.
Yeah.
And so it kept you very focused.
Yeah. I've always been fascinated with that with cooking, being able to know what ingredients go together.
Please, Pat.
I swear to God, I have.
Please. Tell one of your favorites.
That's why I've been fascinated with it, and said I was good at it.
No, let's talk about a couple of your favorite dishes, Pat.
There's so many.
Bugles with
Bugles with squirt cheese in it. I call that a compound bugle.
A compound bugle. I like that.
He does now.
Yeah.
Spam.
spam and mac and cheese is always good.
I can't get behind. I can get some spam, but I'm not. What, do you like Kraft mac and cheese, or do you like, you know, spice the mac and cheese up a little
Velveeta?
Bit?
I like whatever. I like whatever cheese leaves dust on the back of the spoon that I can lick off.
Oh my god, bro. I feel sorry for you.
I'm basically
insides,
a
man.
Trashy 12-year-old boy.
Oh my god, yes. Spam and Velveeta, bro. I got a friend in Texas that you guys get along real good. He made me this dish one time. You're probably gonna love this. It was ragu red sauce with spaghetti noodles and hamburger with Velveeta.
I've made that.
That is disgusting.
I've made that. I swear to God, I've made
that's
that.
That's called goulash.
That's called, yeah.
He calls it Roman holiday. Okay. I went and Googled it. I was like, Roman holiday. I'm like, what, bro, there's no such thing as Roman holiday.
That sounds like a sex position.
Roman holiday.
Yeah, baby, you better put that Roman holiday on that.
Yeah, that actually, I have made that before.
No yeah. stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I told you guys be best friends. I have to give you his contact, man. You guys can cuss more.
That is what. But go on, do go on, Pat, because you're going to talk about cooking.
Well, I fell in love with my wife because she has the same palate.
Yeah,
and like when we
cheese
had
cheese.
What do you mean? You the same palate as me, or the
no.
same palate
oh,
as
me.
You?
As me, if so, she, yeah. If okay. she had the same palate as you, I'd be 400 pounds.
No. I'm gonna leave that alone.
I know. It's like, wait a minute. You're talking about cheese dust.
Well, yeah. Like, good point. Good point. Good point.
Like,
good point.
I don't cook food like that, but okay.
That's a good point. Yeah. No, I love. Like one of the first things we ate together was cheese hot dog, like a Wimmer's with cheese in it, wrapped in a tortilla and microwaved. Fantastic.
Y'all sound like you smoke a lot of marijuana.
You think, right?
That's what it sounds like.
You would think, yeah.
A cheese sauce wrapped hot dog.
We got to do a whole segment, a whole like series called Trashing Down Tay, and you come in here, man. And I just make you my food.
You can cook for Tay.
I think I would have to pass. I can't eat food like that.
Does
I've
it just
tried.
Make you sad?
It doesn't. Yes and no.
It hurts.
I start sweating, and I'm like, I can't digest this. I can't digest this.
So you're not in on like the meat at gas stations that are on the little roller deal, like the egg rolls.
Oh man, no.
Those are tornadoes. I've
tried them. I used to eat those. But no,
then you got hit puberty and stopped.
Yeah, I did. No, and honestly, I don't down anybody because like you like what you like, you know. But my thing is, I'm like, bro, you can make this yourself and really enjoy it, or you can make this and feel bad about eating it. Like, or eat this from the gas station and feel bad about eating it. And I was like, I can't do. I can't.
That's fair,
can't
that's
do
fair
it
point.
Myself,
that's
you know?
Fair point.
I really, really enjoy good food. Like, you're feeding your body fuel. Like, this is keeping you alive.
Or you eat like Pat.
Or you eat like Pat. That's wild, man.
Yeah. Want to take a second to thank some other OG friends and supporters of our podcast, Kugler Vision.
Kugler Vision Center, honestly, they were the first ones that were supporters and partners with our podcast. And that was 5 years ago. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy.
That is unbelievable, but we certainly are thankful to have them on board. Kugler Vision stands out in the crowd without a doubt. They've just got a world-class team of experts at Kugler Vision, and it keeps growing because people realize if you're going to get any kind of corrective procedures done, you want that team behind you, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And you should get online right now and schedule a consultation because you need to know going into 2024 kind of where you stand. Maybe you've always been thinking about getting a procedure, not having to wear glasses or contacts. It's freeing and it's unbelievable.
It is. When you do it, one of the first things you're going to think is, why didn't I do this sooner? Mm-hmm. That's going to be it. So invest in a life of clear vision. Possibly it's going to be something that's a gift on your list for maybe a graduate that's coming up this spring to send them off to college with that great vision going into college would be great without glasses or contacts. But the team at Kugler Vision can give you all the details and help you get that consultation on the books so you can find out exactly what your plan is.
Call them if you want, 402-558-2211, or go on their website, kuglervision.com, and schedule that consultation today.
I hope your wife is going to be like, why'd you bring him on the show? Like, and let him talk about our diet like that? You guys should have me over. I'll even make you a dinner one time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, you'd blow our mind probably.
Probably.
Yeah. I'd like to have you come over and cook something from the stuff we have, because we don't have a lot.
Use Pat's Pantry.
Yeah, Pat's Pantry, because it's a lot of lot of processed stuff.
A lot of boxed items.
Yeah, I could do that for you. I've done that a couple times.
We may have to look at that. But yeah. So now, okay, to get back on track here, because I know it's like we have so much ground to cover.
You're
so you're at Salted Edge, which is phenomenal. Congratulations. That is
Thank
so
you.
Cool.
Thank you.
But you also are Facebook famous.
I don't know about Facebook.
Let's
famous.
Get back to the videos. He walks in here and the office comes into the office and I take him through where a lot of the account managers are and this everybody there knew who you were.
Yeah.
They all knew. That's Tate, Chef Tate. Because they watch your videos. Then we've recently been introduced, some of them have recently been introduced to them by a friend, a mutual friend.
Yeah.
And now they've watched all your videos and they're like, oh my God, these are so hilarious. Explain not just Omaha Eats.
So there is a food vlogger out in Connecticut named Dame Drops, and I just his videos, you know, just the algorithm got brought up to me. I was like, this is really cool. Like, I would love to do this, but like, you know, then you just start thinking. And it's honestly, like the first restaurant I wanted to do, I was like Cali Taco, and not because it used to be fantastic. Like, I used to really, really love this place.
On 30th,
yeah.
I love Cali Taco.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. And then they went through this time of like. It just wasn't good. And I remember sitting in there with the gentleman that was going to be buying Cali Taco and, like, listening to his ideas because he was on the phone talking game to somebody. And I'm like, oh, bro, you're going to destroy this place. And sure enough, he did. And I don't know what they had. They had to have some kind of contract clause because, I mean, it got bad. And the owner came back and brought back some of the old employees. I mean, because the dude changed out the staff, like, and everything. And, yeah, so the owner came back, I would assume, and brought back some of the old staff. And now it's back to being not as great as it was, but good. But, like, I wanted to do something to where I was like, man, I want to let people know, like, this place is good again. You can come back and try it.
Yeah.
And in 2020, you know, I wasn't doing radio anymore, and I had a lot of time to myself. I was door dashing, and so I was driving around all day, and there's all these restaurants that I was picking up food from, and I'm like, this all smells Perfect. Really fire. And so
I want to eat this.
Yeah. I was at the pawn shop one day and I saw a GoPro and I was like, oh, like a GoPro would be cool. So I was like, yeah, I picked up a GoPro. And I was just driving around recording videos of me acting a fool, honestly. And my girl was like,
he's just
what?
A man with a GoPro that needed a purpose.
Yes. Yes.
That's
and,
it.
And so, yeah, like the idea. And then I'm like, I know I want to do food reviews, but I don't want it to be every other food, you know, vlogger out here that, you know, just goes, picks up food and reviews it by themselves. And I was like, it'd be cool. And I was like, and then it would help it organically grow is if I, you know, brought people along with me. And then I was like, well, why don't I not even do it like through me choosing the restaurants? What do other people like to eat? And then it becomes more about them than about me. And, you know, it was like, hey, man, like, and then, you know, I launched it before MasterChef because I'm like, I don't want this to be something to where one MasterChef could be like, oh, well, this blew up because of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, you know, here's my credibility checkmark. Like, this guy does know good food. And so, you know, I'm not just some random guy walking into your restaurant with a camera and you don't know what I could possibly say about your food, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I'm like, let me, you know, incorporated through like local artists, like the gentleman LP Lightpole produces all the music for it. And so I just wanted it to be as organic as possible and as local as possible to where, you know, the people that I bring on, my writers, I call them my foodie friends, they want to take some ownership in it themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they have like a brand, like a clothing brand that they, you know, want to wear or a podcast that they want to talk about, you know, I always give them that opportunity to speak about that on the video. So, yeah, just wanted to, you know, make something that was
that's cool.
Just, you know, a community-based.
And smart
like,
to do it before you went to MasterChef.
Yeah.
Very smart. And did they watch any of those videos in the casting process, I wonder?
No, so they had no idea I was doing this.
They didn't?
No idea at all that it – and I had released the like intro video to like, here's what I'm going to be doing. This is what's going on a week before I announced that I was going to be on MasterChef. So
that's what I was going to ask when MasterChef aired, because you'd already done MasterChef, right?
I
and then he would start recording these, but he didn't want them to take credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had to stake your claim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this.
Yep.
Yeah. That's smart.
Oh, and by the way, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
So, okay. So your videos are short. I mean, it's like 15, 20 minutes?
Seven
minutes, I think.
10 minutes. I think I got one up like 11 minutes long.
A lot goes on in that time.
Yeah.
They're so well done. It's so much fun. And did the people get to pick the restaurant, or do you kind of?
They pick it. So it's all throughout. It's like it's the whole thought is like, let me go eat food that you want. Yeah. You know, and I mean I pay for it all. Some of the restaurants will gift us the food,
and they're hyping it the whole way because that's something they like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tell me about this spot. What's your personal connection? And you know you kind of cast them before and like you know preface. Hey, this is how this rolls, and then all right. Cameras on, go. Yo, so what's up, man? Tell me about where we going today, bro. What's your favorite thing on the menu? And so then it gets them excited. Like, oh, man,
that's
like,
cool.
this, you got to get the chimichanga from there, man, because this got this and this and this and it. And like, I know the owner, and the owner does this really good because of this background. Like, all right, cool. Let's go. We just got here. Let's go and try it. Get into the car, pray for our food, and then we go in.
Yeah.
Like, and then, review each item. And this is the other thing that I'll do because these reviews I'm doing, like, it's not the restaurant asking me to come and give a review. So if I do have something that isn't that great,
yeah.
I just won't highlight it on the video.
Sure.
And what is really good, those are the things I'll talk about. And that's the other thing to where somebody can't say, oh, this wasn't good. Because everything that I'm posting is good. And if something wasn't good, I don't post about it. And so you can't come back on me and be like, oh, Tate said this restaurant was great. And I went and I had the tacos and it was trash. Well, I didn't eat the tacos there. What I had was the barbacoa melt. So
yeah. And it was good.
And it was all the same, good. You know?
All up.
I grew up with, Blaine Hunter, he owns Porky Butts and runs Porky Butts. Every month or so, he puts the Fat Pat sandwich on lunch, and it's fantastic. So,
right,
one of these days, let's go eat a Fat Pat.
Yeah, maybe Pat should be your foodie friend.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. I wouldn't do...
If he's going to take you to Blaine's, that's okay.
I wouldn't do you dirty and take you to QT.
Don't.
Yeah, I would not do that to you.
I've had, and that's the other thing. Like, and I, you know, it happens. You know, everybody has their own taste buds, but I've had people I've picked up and they've taken me to some spots, and I'm like,
dude.
Like, I had one guy. I picked him up, and I messaged them. I'm like, tell me, about the spot first. I want you to know, I've never tried this before.
Mm-hmm.
This is not me and you going to try something that you've never had either. Like, you need to know something about this. He's like, yeah, no, it's down the street from me and everything else. So I picked the guy up. I'm like, yo, man, so tell me about this restaurant. He's like, yeah, I live down the street, man. You know, I always see people in and out of there, but I've never tried it. I'm like,
dude.
Okay. I'm going to work with that, so I can just edit that out. And so we get to this restaurant, and he was like, I'm going to get the fried rice. And I'm like, hopefully the fried rice is fire. Like, I haven't met a whole lot of places in Omaha that do really great fried rice. And this being a spot that I've never heard anybody ever talk about the fried rice.
Right.
And so he gets the fried rice, and so do I. And then we get a couple different other things. And he was like, he opens his box first. And my thing is like, I don't even look at the box. I let the camera see it first. Like, here's what it looks like. And then I'll turn around. And then I get mine. I'm like, oh, like, that looks so good. And so I see him open his box. And I look at this fried rice. And I was like,
man.
That's not it, man. That's not it, bro.
We aren't eating that.
Oh, man. And so he took a bite. And I'm like, oh, let's just try it. And it was rice. That I don't even know what it was.
It was rough, man.
Yeah. It was so rough. And so, yeah, I mean, I've had those experiences, but you know what? Hey, I honestly enjoy hanging out with people. So, yeah. I just turned it into like, I just enjoy, hanging out and having lunch with you, bro. Like, thanks for taking the time. You know, it was cool. But, yeah,
that's really the fun part about your videos, though, is because you're just a couple people hanging out. And then the food just adds a little extra to it. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I hope you do continue doing those videos because they're awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So when can people, like, if they come out to Salted Edge, are they going to see you?
Yeah. So I'm all over the place out there, man.
Seriously. Shocked. Shocked.
The head chef, Chef Joel, this man, he's so funny because, like, he was like, Tay, originally, because he's like, you're going to be on the line. The line is where I'm going to need you at. I'm like, all right, that's cool, Chef. I'm like, you know the prep work is going to be a trip. And, prep cooks, for whatever reason, they're the most emotional people in the kitchen.
I never would have thought that.
Oh, my God. Those are the most entitled people ever. I'm like, bro, you have all day to do the things on your mm-hmm. list. There is no real pressure to get them done. Nobody out front is going to be, tripping on you because, the food's not getting out on time. You don't have a 15-minute ticket time. You have from 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night to finish your
preparation. Everything's ready to roll. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Emotional. Oh my gosh. And so I'm like, all right, that's cool though. So he started me out on grill station. Cause I mean, like, you know, that's just my thing. Like I said, you know, I love grilling and being outside cooking. And I had a wedding on our soft opening night, and I got a text message from all three of the chefs, and they were like, "You're on saute now." And I was like, I've worked saute, like, you know, kind of like it, but saute is a station where you really got to have your nuts screwed on tight, because you have 8 different burners.
Yeah.
You're like, we need an aligo, we need a broccolini, we need 2 risottos, we need a lobster mac. It's
pressure.
Not just put a steak on a grill, cook it to medium rare, rest it. It's like
next level stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. Is the station you go in and I'm like,
so what happened?
That's what I'm saying. What happened, yo? What happened?
Who died?
And they were like, look, I know you never worked this station, but hey, you gotta be better than they did last night. And I'm like, oh, damn. And so they put me over to saute. And I told you, I was like, honestly, though, I was like, I don't want to be in a position to where I'm comfortable. I was like, I'd rather be challenged. I'd rather learn something new than just get over here, get comfortable with this, and then really not want to move on and do something else.
Yeah.
So he put me on saute on our opening night. And I killed it. I'm not even going to lie.
Awesome.
I did my thing. I was like, yo, I told the guy, because I was cooking and he was calling tickets. I was like, you just call the tickets, let me know when you need them, and I'll get them to you.
Oh my God.
I don't care what it's going to take. You're going to have this food on time, bro. And so I ran saute, and then they put me as a training guy on saute. So like anybody, all the new employees that we've had, you know, work on saute. So I was working saute and grill. And then here come the emotional prep cooks. So, they called in and said they weren't going to make it today. You think you could come in early and do prep? And I went back there. And prep was honestly my forte, because I'm like, you can look at your list, and that's just how my brain works. Like, you look at your list and like, how can I organize this to where I can do like 5 things going at once and knock this out? Because I know I'm going to have to go work dinner shift too. And so, so I started doing prep. And then the other chefs, so like sous chef, our executive sous chef, Chef Tierra, and then Chef Dakota, they were like, hey man, like he's kind of a really good prep cook, and like we're okay,
right?
Enough on the line where we don't need him. So they brought me back to prep. And so I mean, like, you, if you ever come onto the salty desk, you'll see me. I'll be in the back, I'll be in the front, I'll be helping pizza station out. I'm just kind of
all over the place.
Yeah. And I like it. I like doing that, because it's not like I got to work one station a night.
Yeah.
I know what it's going to be. It's kind of like, you don't really know what's going to happen. Like, you could be over next to fry station, and your fry cook would be like, I'll tell you, like, I need this. I'm like, okay, cool, I got you.
So are there more than one prep cook?
Yes.
What do the emotional prep cooks do with you? Like, how do they deal with your personality? And you're, like, getting it done when they're, like, so emotional.
They're kind of just like, Tay, you do your thing.
Yeah.
And if I need help, like, if I'm not going to be able to finish anything, like they'll just come up to me like, hey, I didn't finish this. Can you do this? Like one of the prep cooks, and I'm the same as everybody else there. Like I don't have any kind of special job title. Mm-hmm. This is just how I work. And so a lot of them look at it as like, oh no, you are above us, or you act like you're above us. And I'm like, no, dog, like chef calls on me to do these things because he knows I'm gonna get them done. That's it. And so this one guy, I'm not a confrontational person.
Right, like step up your game if you want the chefs to look at you that
exactly.
way. Like,
exactly.
Step up your game.
That's it. But I'm not a confrontational person. And this dude came at me on some real, real goofy like energy one time. And I was like, Tay, you have a choice right now.
Theater conversation.
Yes, you have a choice. My hair, angel, devil. Yeah. I'm like, oh. So he was tripping because I didn't help put up the truck one day. And most of the time I don't, because I have so much on my list to do. And then when you guys leave at 4 o'clock, I'm signing on to go do my other job on the line.
Yeah.
And so I don't have time to, and there's 3 of y'all back there. You don't need me in this cooler to help you put up this truck. And then on top of that, I normally make family meal every day. You guys know what family meal is?
No.
So it's basically, it's the meal for the restaurant. So what all the prep cooks and the servers are going to eat before service, I have to do that too. On top of all the other bullshit that I know is going to be put on me later.
So it's like on Below Deck, they have the chef that cooks for all the guests, but then they also have to make 3 meals a day for the crew.
For the crew.
Yeah. And so did some real passive aggressive stuff. And he was in dry storage and he threw a box so-called on the floor. But it hit me in the back. I was like, damn, if you were trying to hit the floor,
terrible
like,
shot.
I'm 6 You're right. foot.
Yeah.
How you missed the floor by really? 6 feet, bro.
I and beg to differ.
Uh-huh. And so I was like, I'm going to let it go.
That's right.
Oh, I'm going to let it go. And so he comes over to my station and I'm cutting some stuff and he's just kind of standing next to me. And
he said, you know I have a knife, right? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
right?
No, I did.
I'm like,
but I'm
right,
like don't look at this man. 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 If you look at this man, you're going to lose your cool, bro.
Yeah.
And he's just standing there looking at me.
Oh, my God.
And so I look over at him, and I was like, bro, what is your problem? Like, I was like, I know you threw that box at me for no damn reason because I didn't help you put up the truck. I was like, if you got something you want to say, we can go outside right now.
Yes.
And he was like, I didn't throw that box at you on purpose. I was like, now you gonna be a bitch about it? And so the next day he quit. And he was like, oh, I quit because my back hurt from putting up the truck yesterday.
Oh, please.
Bro.
Please.
See, yeah,
this
man.
Is hilarious, though, because now I see why there are so many kitchen shows. Because there's a lot of drama.
Yeah.
There's a lot so of drama, drama. And you don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. When you go there to eat, you don't even realize what all it takes to make it all happen and what's going on behind the swinging doors.
Oh, it is wild. Hey, have you ever seen The Bear?
I've watched a couple episodes of it. Yeah.
Have you got to where it like gets intense
Not
in the
yet.
Kitchen?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Well, when you do, that's what it's like.
That's what it's like.
I'm telling you, like we had the power. Somebody ran into a pole. Hopefully they're okay down the road and shut the power off in the restaurant in half of the kitchen. So we're back in the prep kitchen making food for service off of this little stove in an oven
and still
sending out food. Like it's like that. Like you. In a restaurant, you have to just be ready for anything.
Think on your feet.
Anything. Yeah. Exactly. You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Thank you so much for coming in, first and foremost. I think we do need to do something with Pat's Pantry.
We can do that.
Sure, yeah.
I think we should do something. Or you should take him to
go to Fat
to
eat a Fat Pat.
We can do both.
I'll talk to Blaine, ask when the Fat Pat's going to be on the menu again, and then
you can be his foodie friend.
I'll be his foodie friend.
You can roll, too, if you got a spot you want to go
check
out.
Can I roll up? Oh, my God. I got to think about that, because I'm like, I'm pretty straightforward. It's usually a steak.
You could do Round the Bend.
Yeah. I could do Round the Bend. Have you been to Round the Bend?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Then we
could
do
it. Where is that at?
That's down by South Bend, just off the interstate near the
I've heard of that.
Bull Fries.
Is that the place where they have like the big portions of everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the testicle festivals there every year?
I don't know nothing about that, though.
You
know what? I take that back. This is out by Mahoney, right?
Yeah.
I've drove past the sign. I was like, testicle festival? What?
Mm-hmm. You ever eaten a bull fry or Rocky Mountain oysters?
Are these bull nuts?
Bull nuts.
No, man.
Oh, man, it's fantastic.
You know what we're going to do?
I'm not going to again.
It's good. It's so good.
Some people will say there's not enough ketchup in the world, but other people understand.
Put another ball in my mouth.
Put another ball in my mouth. Are they big and nasty?
They're sliced.
No, they're sliced.
Yeah. It's not
just,
like
it
meatballs.
It looks like fried pickles, kind of.
It really does. It's breaded, fried, sliced. You would never, if you didn't know it was a testicle, you would never know, like, oh, that's a testicle.
Does it like have texture like a meatball?
No.
Kind of
like,
liver
like
mixed with
ham. Oh, hell no. I hate liver.
Really?
Liver is disgusting. There is no way you can prepare liver that I'll ever, like, it's, you bite into it, and for an instant you have steak, and then the next thing you know, it turns into mush. No.
That's not fair.
Then it's not liver, then, because it doesn't
it's
turn
not,
into
it's
mush.
It's not like that.
Okay, all right.
It's not like
yeah,
that.
No.
Okay.
Oh.
We got to do this. We'll get some plans made.
Okay.
Okay.
I can eat some wild things. Like beef tongue, can't do it.
Can't do that.
I've never tried that. I would.
I can't do that either.
Yeah. You start getting that nice gamey taste in there, and then you feel a taste bud on your taste bud. I'm like, nah. Nah,
what is that? I'm all about like gizzards. I love gizzards. Fried gizzards.
I can't do those.
Like
either.
Organ meat, right?
I can't do those. But it's really good for you.
Is it?
No, it's not.
Not breaded.
Oh.
Not breaded,
why not,
though.
Like,
it is. Organ meat is really good for you.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. I can't eat it, though. I just can't do it. I can't bring myself to
so
do it.
So you mean to tell me the
like heart,
the organs that they use that they use to clear out the poisons in your body.
Yeah.
Are good for you.
They are good for you.
This chicken that can digest rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I've never.
I've never been a fan.
Yeah. So On that note. Yeah,
on that note.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Tate, thank you.
This
thank
has been awesome. Yeah.
It's good to see you again. All right, so go make sure you rate, review, subscribe, and I'll put links to your Facebook page.
Dope.
To anything
yeah,
you
yeah,
want
yeah.
in our
yeah.
In your website and stuff in our description.
We got to get you to work. You got to get go prep.
Yeah. I do. Chef's going to be, I'm surprised he hasn't called me yet because he was like, Tate, come in at 9 o'clock tomorrow. I was like, no, man.
Nope.
It's 10:30 right now tonight. You think I'm coming at 9 o'clock tomorrow?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm glad
Valentine's
you made it.
Day weekend.
Right? That's true, too.
We need to thank Centris big time.
Centris Federal Credit yes. Union. They are our buddies. They're our partners. We've been working with them for a couple of years and absolutely love having them on the show. And as a matter of fact, with the new year, 2024, they're helping a lot of people out if you've got some big projects coming up. If you're looking at buying your first home, or if you're looking at maybe doing some major repairs to your home, home equity line mm-hmm. of credit, new mortgage, all that good stuff, 15 locations right here in Omaha, member NCUA, federally, oh God, I can't remember it.
Federally insured by NCUA.
And something else. Equal housing lender.
There you go. Yeah.
We're covered. We gotcha. Okay.
402-334-7000 or on their website, centrisfcu.org. Tate, again, thanks, man. Appreciate
absolutely,
it. Good to see
you
again. Yeah. It's Pat and JT. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Podcast, a Huda Media production.